101, Psalm 101. From verse 1 to 8, I will read. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that walketh beside shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's all prepare our hearts as we stand in a place where the name of the Lord is glorified, in praise, in worship, in fellowship, in gathering, and in the unity of the children of God, by the unity of the Spirit of the Lord. Our Lord, our God, thank you, Lord, for creating us. Thank you, Lord, that you have purpose in your heart that we will be worshipping you, praising you, and standing in a place like this to be part of a ministry, to be part of a family of God, and to say that we belong to you. Thank you, Lord, for the banner of love upon all our touch. And thank you, Lord, for the mighty name that you have given to all of us, the great exceeding reward that no one can gain, but only can receive by the grace of God. Amen. And thank you, Lord, here we are, holding onto the promises, standing on the promises. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are our anchor, our shelter. You are our rest, the only place where we can go and rest forever, and continue to sing songs unto thee in Zion. Oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we have the assurance, and that assurance is we are yours and you are in us. Lord, may you bless us to obey thy word. May you bless us to be the humble children of God who are guided by the mind of Jesus Christ, who are led by the presence of the Holy Ghost, who are shielded and surrounded by the wall of fire and established by the Almighty. Amen. Oh Lord, we pray, may your glory fill the temple of God, and may you speak to our hearts. May you touch us that we may feel thy presence in our spirit, O Lord. No matter how much problems, sicknesses, pains, sufferings deeply hurting us in our heart, Lord, you look at all of us as a beautiful creation of you. All our imperfections are nothing compared to the perfection that we are all going through in the world. Thank you, Lord, for perfecting us. Thank you, Lord, for molding us, our potter. Break us. Chasten us. Because it is all because of the love that you have for us. And we gladly accept, because the Father knows what is good for the children. The Father knows what to give and what to take. The Father knows when to comfort and when to punish. The Father knows when to speak with a still voice and when to rebuke to calm down the storm. Lord, we bless your holy name, because we are all yours, O Lord. And Lord, may you take the highest seat in the midst of us as we glorify thy name alone. You are the only Savior. May you bless all of us, O Lord, to be led by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be led by your presence, that we eat the bread of life and drink the blood of new covenant and live a life to conform to the image of the Son. We thank you for everything. We thank you for the place. Sanctify our hearts. And Lord, fill our hearts with your Spirit. And bless us to be the fruitful, righteous people. Remain in the fruitful field to serve the Lord, to glorify the name of the Lord. We surrender everything into thy mighty hands. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. God bless you all, overseas brethren, for joining us. Praise the Lord for today. And praise the Lord for yesterday. And we praise the Lord for tomorrow. We thank the Lord for helping us to understand how weak we are in terms of time, that we can't even recover 1 second of our life. We can't even undo what we did in the past. But the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice, the atonement of our Lord and Savior, it defeats the purpose of time, who is the same yesterday, today and forever. All those who are born and died from the Garden of Eden until now, and all those who may born and die tomorrow, the blood of Jesus covers all. The sacrifice and the atonement, the love of God that we saw in Calvary, it covers all. All the life that belongs to the Almighty God. So we thank the Lord washed us and washing us thoroughly, because this purging process, when we sing the song, Lord, create a clean heart in me, every single day we will get hurt. There will be some stain, some spots. The Lord would say, I want you to be blameless. Preserve your soul, your spirit and your body for me to dwell in. The Lord wants to occupy the whole of our creation, because he just wants to fill ourselves with him. When we ask the Lord, Lord, fill the whole earth with your glory, and the Lord says, he will pour out his Holy Ghost upon all the flesh. Amen? That's the only way the glory of the Lord can fill the earth, where the vessels become the light bearers, the vessels become the mouth of God, the hand of man become the hand of God, like how Moses stretched out his hand and the miracle just happened. The Lord says, when we are called to conform to the image of the Son, when Jesus said, we will do greater works than him, when the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, there is something the Lord has done in our lives, even without our knowledge in our past, to allow us to go through certain experiences, so that those experiences will come back and will remind you and will hit you hard to tell you, to tell me, to tell all of us how much grace, how merciful, how loving the Savior whom we serve. The way the Lord shaping all our lives is something, is the only way, I would say, to feel the humbleness in the presence of God when you pray unto him, when we feel the way the Lord shapes us. And when we see the Lord, sometimes he breaks us, and after some time the wound gets healed. But when you look back, we are not the same anymore. Spiritually, we are standing on a tall or higher ground. So, what is breaking to us if the Maker is always making? What is the value to us if God told all of us, you are all singing songs unto me on the top of the mountain? What is death to us if the Lord says that we are all holding on to the everlasting life, the eternal promise? So everything that we are all going through is very similar to a boat that carries a life until it reaches a destination. The purpose of the boat is no more, because the soul crossed the shore. So when the Lord created Adam from the dust, he breathed life into him. And all our flesh that we are all, we can feel our flesh, we can feel our pain, we can feel our forgetfulness, we can feel our remembrance. The Lord has given us certain power for us, so that we know that we are created in His image and His likeness. We can think we know how to discern what is good and right even in this world, because the Lord has given us the state of mind which can be ruled by your flesh, or which can be completely submitted to yield to the Spirit. Amen. And that divides life and death. Amen. State of mind. The consciousness that we are all holding on to every day in our life. You could be mentally strong today, and tonight something may happen to you. Tomorrow you are nothing but a broken glass. You could encourage someone today, and today you lose something. Tomorrow you would be longing and crying for someone to come and help you. You may find none. Our life on this earth is nothing but a temporary journey the Lord has allowed us to be tested. Like what happened to the children of Israel on the wilderness. But the Lord says, I am your guide. You follow me, I will take you where I want to take you to. Where I want you to reach. That is the definition of why the place is always called wilderness. For you and me, we don't know what may come tomorrow. It's wilderness. But we know who holds tomorrow. Faith. We don't see what's going to happen tomorrow. Hope. But we have seen what the Lord did in the past. Faith. But it's all rooted on the life which is love. I was thinking, in all our body, the most part of the body is covered by fluid. The blood defines whether we are alive or not. Heart is flesh, my body parts, bones are nothing but meat. I eat, I grow. But the blood, it's a sign of life. It keeps on flowing. It's not like a pond that is stagnant, but rather it keeps on flowing like a river. You see, even in your body, there is a bloodstream that flows like a river. Like a sweet river. Amen? It flows, goes to the heart, gets cleaned, again starts going to all the parts of the body, to every single corner of the body, to make sure that single cell is alive. To heal the wounds, to grow as we eat. But the blood is something that is very much linked to the life. If your blood is healthy, you live longer. If the blood flow is stopped, we are pronounced, we are dead. We can't say my heart is in good condition, my lungs is in great condition, my kidney is fine, look at my biceps, look at my bones, I'm very strong. But no blood, you are dead. Your brain might be functioning, but still you could be in coma, but you're still alive. Your heart can be transplanted. People can give, can change the heart, can change kidney, can even pump blood to one another. But the sign of life, the Lord has allowed it to be seen in the blood. When Jesus said, drink my blood, which is the new covenant. When He said, Lord, I was an old man, you touched me, you healed me, you torn down the veil, you gave me the sight of faith, I could see the revelation, because of your Holy Spirit, Lord, I am a new creation in Christ. Because the blood of Jesus washed us, and the blood of Jesus took the power of the sin of your blood, of my blood, of the flesh, of what happened in Garden of Eden, and till every single day what we do in our life, the blood of Jesus overpowers everything when the Lord decides to wash the vessel. And the Lord decides to save the soul. So if Jesus compares His blood to drink as a new covenant, if blood is something seen as life, last Sunday we meditated on one very important verse when God commanded Aaron, do not let your people to drink wine or any strong drink. There is no other strength other than the strength of the Lord. Everything else may look like strength, but is nothing but a trap, a deceptive hole where we will fall and die. The Lord, His name is the strong tower. Amen? So when the Lord tells to Aaron, don't let the people to drink something strong. Strong to the extent that they go back to their own ways of being ruled by that flesh. The wine of the spiritual wickedness, the wine of the flesh, the wine of evil, The wine of all things the Lord hates, as we read in Proverbs. Those are also compared to wine because it rules your mind. Whatever that rules your mind, it is a wine because you are drunk. Whatever that holds some sort of an obsession that I am like this, I'm not going to change, you are drunk. And we pray to the Lord and we ask the Lord to learn from the word of life, because the wrath of God will go and burn everything who are drunk other than the new covenant. Amen. Who are completely drunk, holding on to something very strong that is having dominion over their mind, because your mind is very important for you to think, decide, speak and do. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, we know out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The Lord called all of us, love me with all your heart, not from the mind, because in this world, mind represents something we read, something we learn, and something we memorize, and something we think we understood, but actually we don't. The knowledge of this world is the mind of this world. The knowledge of knowing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would put us in a place where our heart is worshipping God. When the Lord said, their lips are praising me, but their heart is far away from me. Then what the Lord says? I wanted them to speak from the abundance of the heart, but they speak from the abundance of their knowledge. Abundance of their mind of this world. That cannot reach the presence of God. God would not be pleased when we speak of Him by our knowledge. The Holy Ghost cannot be pleased by the flesh. Romans chapter 8. The Holy Ghost can only be pleased by the Spirit, which is what we do in Spirit, what we think in Spirit, and what we speak in Spirit. Because Jesus said, I give you the Comforter, lest you don't say, where is the Lord to lead me? The Lord said, I have given you the Comforter. Faith, take it. Unbelief, drop it. So now, let's go to the Bible. We continue from where we left. What the Lord spoke to Aaron was something concerning the separation of unholy and holy. Amen? The Lord compares the state of mind, the battle that is going on in our mind, all the things that makes you unhappy, that makes you being unable to bring the sweet aroma in the presence of God with joy, with submission, with belief. The Lord says, circumcise your mind from that strong drink. A strong, well-established thought is a wine of evil. Then the Lord teach all of us that He could see the deep intention of the heart, why we do this, what exactly is the purpose, what is the outcome of doing this, what is the outcome of speaking this. We may fool the entire world, but there is one who examines our heart, who thoroughly go to the deepest part of your thought, who can see through. No one can escape from the eyes of the Lord. We cannot say, Lord, I was just thinking about it. Why are you so angry with me? Lord knows the difference between a stimulus thought and a well-established thought. You are fasting, walking, there is a good restaurant, the smell comes, your flesh kicks in, you feel hungry. You feel, I wish I eat this. Then you pray, Lord, give me the power and endurance to overcome this. Then you overcome that moment of weakness, that moment of some thought which was trying to put you away from your goal. And that thought is something, a reaction of your flesh. That's fine. But let's say you fast. Lord, I'm going to fast for 10 days. But deep inside, you just want to lose your weight. Deep inside, you just want to cycle your blood. Deep inside, you just want to get some health benefits. Do you know that you can cheat the Lord? We may not say this out. Nobody knows. The whole world might think, oh, this brother, this sister is super spiritual. But the Lord knows why we do it. We may think we are serving the Lord. Oh Lord, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing everything in the church. But the Lord knows why you do it. Do you do it for a limelight or do you do it to serve Him? We must decrease to the extent that we might be seen as a fool, like the foolish of the world, to the world. But the saints of God would not see a saint of God as a fool, because they are led by the Spirit of the Lord. But what the Lord says, Jesus said, I came for the sick. The doctor is needed for the one who is going through pain and suffering. But if the Lord has given us strength, joy, peace, faith, the fruit of the Holy Ghost, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing the truth, then what the Lord is expecting from us? Just to keep it, store it in the cupboard, lock it, and wait until the Lord coming, and just make sure, yes, I finished my journey, I'm entering into the everlasting life, I'm entering into the promised land. Do you think the Lord will be pleased with us? If we are all going through the perfection, the Lord is pruning the branches, making us to be the beautiful creation of whom He wants us to be, to conform to the image of the Son. The only way we can see how beautiful Jesus is to go and study the Word and pray to Him, and He will teach us how beautiful He is. He cannot be seen by the eyes of flesh, but His beauty, His shining face can be seen in the Word of the Lord, because He is the Word of God. The only way to define His face is to go and understand what the Lord is teaching to us in the Spirit. I cannot say his eyebrow was like this, his hair was like this. You can say thousand things. But the Lord says his face is like this. In the Word of the Lord you can see Him. How beautiful He is. How much He loved us. He loved Judas. He loved everyone. The way He lived a life in just 3 years, the ministry that He showed, the four Gospels that recorded, which captures the perception of the life of Jesus from different angles, from Luke, John, Mark and Matthew, it tells us how the Lord beautifully allowed two or more witnesses to record His life so that they can bear His record, being the testimony of Jesus. He did not want to be defined by one single sermon, but rather He allowed the gospel to be four. And Apostle Paul wrote letters to different churches so that everybody will receive what the Lord is sending them. So when we look all of this, if the Lord wants us to grow, if the Lord wants us to stay alive, there is something the Lord wants us to gain: the mind of Jesus Christ. When we think, the Spirit will hit us. Are you sure? Do you think this is how your master thinks? Are you sure? Do you think this is how your master speaks? Are you sure? Do you think this is how your master treats one another? Mind of Christ wants you, helps you to think the same way the one whom you serve thinks. Because once we think, there is a thought being established. We have to be very careful. The Lord knows well-established thought, and the Lord knows the weariness of our heart. When we are groaning, moaning, being confusion, the Lord knows, oh, it's a broken vessel. I am close to you, the contrite spirit. But on the other side, well-established thought can only be done by haughty mind, who think, fine, this is the best way of doing it. I am pretty sure. I am very sure. When we think I am very sure, the Lord would tell us you are very wrong. When we think I am exactly right, the Lord would tell you are dead wrong. The reason why I say dead wrong is, when we are wrong in the sight of the Lord, we are dead. We might be breathing, but we are dead. Without the word of the Lord, we are dead. Without the leading of the Spirit, we are dead. Because the way of holiness is the only place where you can stay alive. I took a wrong turn, go far away, I am dead. The moment I cross the narrow path, I am dead. If at all the Lord pulls me back into the path by someone, by some experience, blessed be the name of the Lord, because I don't deserve it. I took the wrong turn already, but the Lord said, I will bring you back yet again. How many times? No one knows. If we think I have some limit to my temper, ask yourself, what is the limit of God's temper? You want to test? Can we test? The Bible says, if God decides to show His power, show His wrath, none of us would be sitting in the chair today. We might have been killed somewhere. We might have been living in this world, but extremely dead, in full of sin, full of lack of understanding. There is no limit to agape love. Amen? And there is no limit to the grace of God. But the grace is sufficient to thee. What does it mean? The Lord tells, I am the provider. I know how much exactly you need, and I know how much exactly I will give. Anything that we complain above or below goes to Revelation chapter 22. We cannot add anything more or less to the word of God. The Bible says, the children of God lack nothing in the wilderness. Amen. Whether you believe it or you don't. True enough. But how many times we complain? Lord, I was doing everything perfectly fine. I don't deserve this job. I don't deserve this thing. I don't deserve this. I need more. When you say, I need more, then you tell the Lord, this verse, children of God, lack nothing in wilderness, is a lie. Then you are a liar. I am a liar. But it is scripture. If you believe we are in wilderness to go to the promised land, the Bible says, children of God lack nothing. Then what you lack? The truth is, the provision of God is not lacking, but the provision of men is always lacking. No matter how much you get, you would never be satisfied. You always want to drink more wine. More, more money, more reputation, more power, more anger, more ego. I'm not fool, I'm not fool. But the provision of God is contentment. It's beautiful. When you feel, oh, Lord, you broke my leg. It's painful. But Lord, I'm so happy because you do not want me to go astray. For that reason, you broke my leg. I am in the camp of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can see that the provision of God is absolute. Nothing more, nothing less. Nothing more will make you fat. Nothing less will make you weak. God would never make us weak. But when the Lord says, you are weak, thou art strong. When you say, Lord, I am weak, thou art strong. The flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. Amen. We are weak without the leading of the Holy Spirit. So now the wrath of God, last four Sundays, children of disobedience, mercy rejoices against judgment. And how we learned about worthy of repentance and worthy to escape. Remember the third sermon. Worthy of repentance. The word we speak, if it is not acceptable to the Almighty, that repentance is nothing because there is no repentance. It's nothing but words of something just to satisfy our own flesh. A vessel of God may forgive you, but God, to forgive you, you have to go to the closet and you have to kneel and pray unto the Lord. To wait until the Lord fills you with the peace of God that no one can give. We cannot say, yes, yes, I have peace of God. How did you get it? You know, I just went and said sorry to him. He said, he forgive me. Oh, praise the Lord. I am filled with peace. It's a lie. You cannot get peace of God from men. The Bible says, peace of God surpasses all understanding. Can only be given by God himself. The vessel of God can be the vessel of forgiveness, vessel of mercy. But the peace of God can only be given to those who have the heart of humility. Heart that is broken. Heart that is humble. That is completely on the floor. Like the lame. Like a plain. There is no buildings. The heart is plain. Then the glory of the Lord will stand and tell you, I am with you. And that heart can serve the Lord. But the haughty mind cannot serve the Lord. That is why we start a sermon today with Psalm 101. We walk into the house of God to serve him prudently. What is the meaning of prudently? What is the meaning of wisely? The Lord has given us 7 days to live, to gather here on Sunday. Amen? Do you think that he has given you 7 days to earn the monthly salary? What does it mean? Can you glorify God? Can I glorify God? Lord, I am promoted. And I worked very hard. When I was studying for my exams, I thought I am going to fail. I was telling myself, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Then I was running, I was studying. Can we use the word of the Lord to gain something worldly? Can the Lord allow us to glorify his name on something worldly? If at all, that success was meant to be something to be beneficial for the ministry of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like Joseph was exalted by God to be next to the king because he had to be there to protect the people of Israel. There is always a purpose, an outcome in every success, every victory. We have to have the discernment to make sure this victory is something heavenly, something bound to the spiritual life of me and my family and the church. Then you can say, Lord, I thank you. We cannot thank the Lord for all things, you know. We have to be very careful. You may do something worldly. Don't say, Lord, I thank you. How can the Lord would allow you to do something worldly? He cannot. He would not. We thank the Lord for all things. And the Bible says, not all things, the deep things of God. Those deep things of God will always draw us closer to him. Amen? All those mistakes will work together for good because of his grace and mercy. Because we have to stay in the land of humbleness and obedience, then the Lord would say, I will bring you back. Amen. So for the Lord to work in us, the Lord says, have the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ, do not let any strong drink to overcome your mind. Do not drink any thought that will keep on pouring in your heart of the past or something disturbing. I pray, and we all pray together as we heal together, may the Lord cut it and throw it away. Because it has no room in the heart where the Master dwells. Now, let's turn our Bibles to start from how our Savior spoke concerning the wine before we go to the division where the Bible says, drink this and don't drink this. That must be a reason, right? In different chapters, the Lord warned us, drink this and do not drink this. When we see the word of the Lord in faith, the Lord will help us to grow. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 14, verse 22 to 26.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I said to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they summoned him, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's read verse 25. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus spoke after he said, this is my blood of the new testament which is shed for many. When the blood of Jesus shed, do you see it fell on the earth, on the dust? Amen. Even when he was on the cross, he was dripping blood, shedding blood. And Jesus says, verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the day I drink new in the kingdom of God. This is V-I-N-E, not W-I-N-E. Look carefully. We will go there. So now, let's turn your Bible to Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Jesus says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. The Lord says, a warning. Last Sunday when we saw how he warned the Pharisees and Sadducees, who warned you to flee? Who warned you to escape? And now Jesus is saying to people, to the disciples, he said, I am warning you to be worthy to escape. When you say, Lord, thank you Lord for calling me. Bless me to live a life that is worthy of thy calling. Last Sunday we saw Hebrews chapter 3, we are the partakers of what? The heavenly calling. Called by the apostle, the high priest, the master, our savior, who is all in all. So when the Lord said, I want you to partake my heavenly calling. And in the last supper, Jesus said, this is the bread of life, partake. The wine, partake. When we have feet washing communion in our church, we all drink the same blood, same wine, and we all drink the same bread, break it. So that we all understand we are part of that single bread of life, and now we are eating that part, that portion of faith, that we are also called to be the part of the word. We are nothing but part of him. We are in him. So when the Lord says, I am in you, you are in me, we always have to remember us, nothing but a small fish in the big ocean, And the ocean is the Lord's love, and we are just swimming in the ocean. We don't know where we go. But no matter how far we can swim, we would be keep on swimming. Because His love is measureless, limitless. His greatness cannot be measured. So now, the Lord, having said all of this, He also warned us very strongly concerning His wrath. Because the Lord always wants His people to be aware, not to be ignorant. When Apostle Paul speaks, "My brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of this, covered for the best gift of the Holy Ghost, which is prophecy." Why Apostle Paul says, "Don't be ignorant"? If Apostle Paul do not have the feeling, you would be ignorant. Why the Lord says, "My people will perish for the lack of knowledge and wisdom"? If the Lord do not feel the urge to say that this warning must come to pass. Because He wants to save people. He wants to bring His seed always next to Him. So this is what Jesus said: avoid drunkenness. Don't let anything that is strong to rule your mind, because He wants to be the only ruler in the mind. When the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was transformed into wine, after that he served. Amen. I was trying to meditate on that with the other verse: out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If my master is ruling my heart, he will examine my thoughts, he will taste my thoughts. If it is wine, he will let me speak. Then my words will be the words of life. People can eat. If I have no master in my heart, but someone is ruling my heart, I could use the same Bible word. Because the enemy is also reading Bible. The only difference is he can't receive, he can't understand. He has complete lack of understanding. He has the truth full of lies. But the Lord says, let me taste the water before I serve. Because the fountain of life is all about life. But the wine, it adds some taste to it. Amen? Some flavor to it. If someone is suffering in the deathbed, will you go and say something with a very haughty tone of voice? "I love you. I take care of you. And whatever happens, don't worry." Can you say, "I just spoke to him so fondly"? The Bible says, the knowledge and wisdom to speak the word with life is something so sweet for the ears to hear. Because it is not the vessel, it is how the Lord speaks. Kindness cannot be separated from the way we speak. If we think, "Nobody knows how loving I am. Nobody knows how humble I am. It's fine, I don't care what the world thinks." But the Bible says, be clear of the conscience of all the men. Your faith must be clear of the conscience of men. Which means the Lord says, hold your testimony, not to boast, not to show off, but do not forget the name of the Lord must be glorified in our life. If not, we might be doing something, thinking something, believing something, but the Lord would be saying, "I never knew you." That is why we do not want to be ignorant. We see the anger of the Lord through the agape love of God. We see why the Lord sends His wrath through the agape love of God. Because without love, we are nothing. Why? You see, when Joshua was commanded by God to encircle the wall, the city of Jericho, 6 days once a day, 7 days seven times a day, remember, seven times on that day, after that, that city was destroyed. But what is the outcome? Those 7 days of steadfast, obedient march around the city, those 7 days of obedience by Joshua and the mighty, valiant men to do what the Lord told him to do and to obey what the Almighty told them to obey. So they were tested for 7 days. Amen. They were tested whether they are being sincere, obedient, humble to the word of the Lord, not leaning onto their own understanding. Why don't we walk straight instead of walking circle? No, they didn't do it. They were mighty, valiant men, soldiers, strong people. They could have used their strength just to invade, but they didn't. They simply obeyed the word of God and they were steadfast in obedience. That was the test was going on for them. But inside the city, remember, after the destruction was done, Rahab, the harlot, and those whom belonged to her family, they were retrieved, redeemed, saved by Joshua and the people. So the destruction had a remnant. A life was preserved even after the wrath of God was poured upon the city. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Yes, it's true. But why? Because God wanted to bring Lot and his family away. Separation of unholy and holy. then why Rahab is still called harlot? Like the lame who was healed but still called lame. Spiritually, we were all harmless. When we can think as adults. Before the Lord revealed His truth to us, we were worshipping heathen gods. We were serving the world. We were full of sins and evil thoughts. We were serving the ruler of this world. We were very close to be part of the Babylon that will be destroyed by the wrath of God. Amen? But the Lord washed us thoroughly in His blood. The husbandman redeemed us from the hands of evil and pulled us to the place where we can see light. Rahab was in the city of Jericho. Was an evil woman before. But just because she hid the two methods of God, the Lord decided to show grace and mercy to her, and He took her out of the city, which was destroyed, completely destroyed, including children. So, behind every wrath of God that we see in the Bible, you would see an outcome that is always linked to His love for His souls. Yes, He destroyed the sons of priests who dishonored the altar. But that also set a very strong warning to the whole people. Don't do it again. I will burn you to death. That warning preserved the souls of those people who witnessed it. The wrath of God is a warning to the children of God. The wrath of God is a separation of holy and unholy things. Amen. So now, let's go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 25. 25. I will read from verse 7. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. So the provoking of the anger of the Lord is because of the works of our hands, which will even fall upon our very own life, will hurt us. The Lord says, if you do not hearken unto me, the word of the Lord. He has spoken this to His enemies and also to His children in different chapters. Because He is the righteous God. Amen. Now you read verse 8. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my word, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and the Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolations. 2 Sundays ago, we read the word of the Lord concerning the wine of astonishment. Remember? The wine of astonishment. Now, the book of Jeremiah and the book of Isaiah, there are strong warnings given to the people of God to be aware of the line that we should not cross. To be aware of the wrath of God that is there to burn everything that are not gods. The Lord says, don't go there. It's like how the parents tell the children, don't touch the stove. It's very hot. But if the child decides to rebel and go and touch it, it will feel the heat. But if the Lord is being merciful, that fire would not burn the child to death, but rather would teach the child a lesson that the child would never touch the flame again. Amen? So for that moment, it is that moment we read in the Bible, the Lord will hide His face for a moment for the people of God to drink the wrath of His anger. And once they learned enough lesson, the Lord will show His face again. And to do that, He will have to remember His everlasting mercy and everlasting goodness to turn back again. Because that moment of turning back needs His agape love, His mercy that endures forever, to turn Him back. So that we would not perish. But can we say, Lord, I don't want that. But I pray, we should pray to the Lord, Lord, I want this. Because the more He purges, the more He forges through fire, the more strong we are. The more acceptable we are to His sight. Amen. So now let's continue to learn from the book of Jeremiah before we go to the book of Isaiah. Verse 10, moreover, I will take them from the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride and the sound of the millstones and the light of the candle. And the whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So we know the 70 years period, and we continue, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon, that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolation. And I will bring upon the land all my word, which I have pronounced against it. Amen? You see, you look at this verse. I will bring upon that all my words that I have pronounced against it. When you read, the wrath of God is stored, reserved for his judgment later. Here we read, I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced. The words that are uttered will come to pass. Against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah had prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also. And I will recompense them according to the deed, and according to the works of their own hands, not others' hands. Own hands. The work of our own hands. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. The Lord is speaking to the prophet, and he tells him, take this cup of fury from my hand, and give it to those whom I want them to drink. And they shall drink and be moved. You see, after they drink it, they be moved. And when the Lord says, be steadfast, immovable, don't shake, be firm. And when the Lord says, I will give the cup of my fury, when they drink, they be moved. And be mad. Isaiah chapter 28, last week we read, they erred through the wine that they drank. Amen? They did something wrong. They did some mistakes because of the wine. Not something flesh. We are talking about spirit. Everything spiritually. Because God is spirit, the word of the Lord is all about preserving our spirit and soul and body blameless for him to come and take us home. And we have to learn everything for our spiritual life. If we continue this, they become mad because of the sword that I will send among them. That's what will confirm them. They will go crazy. And then took I the cup at the Lord's hand and made all the nations to drink unto whom the Lord had sent me. Amen. Let's take another physical example. Moses was sent to the people of Israel. Amen. To redeem the children of Israel from the slavery in Egypt. He redeemed by God's grace. But in the wilderness, they made a golden calf. And he burnt it, mixed it with the water, and made them to drink. Amen? Remember, Moses, who was called by God, sent by God, to the people, those who become nations later on, they were forced to drink something of their own works. What they made with their own hands, he burnt and made them to drink. Now, spiritually, in the book of Jeremiah, we also learn all the work that we do, after the thought is established in our heart. The Lord says he will inquire us for every single work we did. And for that reason, there is no room for us to think that we are strong, we are intelligent, we are wise, nothing. The biggest blessing, the greatest understanding that we all can hold on to is, without my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I am nothing. Without the word of the Lord living in my life, my testimony is nothing. Without the leading of the Spirit, my journey is a journey to death. That understanding will give us the wisdom to think everything through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he has become the head. The body cannot think. Head thinks. The head thinks and the head speaks. The Lord says, conform to that image. Where I think, I speak. You just listen and obey what I say here. not here. So now, the prophet was told by the Lord to feed all, to drink what the Lord was holding in his hand. The book of Revelation goes into deep concerning this. We will go there after something that I really want us to focus. We start from Proverbs chapter 23. This chapter specifically addresses the state of mind concerning drunkenness. Proverbs chapter 23. I won't read all the verses. I will read the verses that we want to focus, but I encourage you all to meditate both chapter 23 and 24 in your personal prayer to the Lord. Brother Clement, can you read this for me from verse 1 to 8, as you read, I write. Verse 1 to 8.
Proverbs 23, 1 to 8. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat, if you are a man given to appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words.
Amen. Now, we just stop there. Before we go back to Proverbs 13, I want us to read one more verse in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, the previous chapter, verse 27. Verse 27. I will read this. Verse 27, I read, therefore thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink ye and be drunken, and spew and fall and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. Amen. Because of the sword I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. He is not giving them an option. Then what happened to the power of free will here? Because the judgment has come. When the judgment has come, now let's think about our free will. What we can do? Our free will, the power of your free will, expires when the grace of the Lord is over in our life. Because what can you decide after you die? What can you decide when he comes with the iron rod? What can you decide? You can't decide anything. Because the separation is done, the gathering is done, the decision has been made, he is coming just to pronounce it. So, when those who refuse to drink, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. When the Lord says certainly, it is done. Because everything is uncertain except the word of the Lord. The only certain thing that we cannot hold on to. Now we see verse 29. For lo, I begin to bring evil on the city which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished, ye shall not be unpunished. He says, do you think that you can escape? You can't escape. Now what John the Baptist said, what Jesus said, and now what we read here. Now he said, do you think that you will be unpunished? You shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Now you see, partakers of the heavenly calling, inhabitants of the earth. Can you see the difference? Which is our calling? To remain as the inhabitants of the earth, to die, to become the flesh, to die in sin, and to be destroyed forever by the everlasting fire, and that's it, we are no more done. Or to remain as the partakers of heavenly calling, just to walk into the promised land with the Lord. Because the Lord says, those who are partakers of this world, of this worldly wine, the wrath of God abideth on them. And they may think, I will go unpunished. But the Lord says, no, you will never go unpunished. Because the word of the Lord is absolute, it shall come to pass. Because He has spoken it. So when the Lord tells Prophet Jeremiah, whatever He spoke, He will bring it to come to pass. Whatever I have pronounced, He will bring it. Because the word of the Lord is not something time bound. Because He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Amen. Now this is what we read in the book of Jeremiah. There is one more verse in the same chapter, which is verse 37 and 38. Same chapter, 37, 38. And the peaceable habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Why it is called peaceable habitation? When the Lord rebuked Pharisees and Sadducees, the Bible says they held their peace. What peace? What is your peace? Is being silent a peace? Is being quiet, is it called peace? Is living a life that is perfect? We get up every day and we live a very perfect life. Is it peace? There is only one peace that stands up for sure. And that peace is not for the flesh to take it. Is not for the evil to take it. Is not for the swine to eat it. Is only for the children of God who can receive it. Because the Lord is gracious and merciful, He will grant it. So when He grants it, He will see if our head is bowed down spiritually, so that the mind of Christ can take over. Because to put the faith, to exercise the faith, to put the faith into practice, you need a mind to work. Amen? See, we can see, Lord, I know what is the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Joy, peace, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Yes, I know all of this. But do we have all of this in our life? Can we do it without the mind of Christ? Now you see, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things, deep things of God, things that are heavenly, things that are very important for my partaking in heavenly calling, things that are crucial for me to remain blameless, preserved as a soul, spirit, body, as a whole for my Lord coming, those all things, through Christ who strengthened me. The bread of life strengthens the heart. If we can't love God with all our heart, we have no love of God. And the oil that makes our face shine. Remember Psalm chapter 104. And the wine that makes our heart glad. When we say, Lord, I'm broken, I'm struggling, I'm crying, the pain is so much. But the Lord says, I am your comforter. You told me you love me, then that is your faith. Sometimes we think that we are being very faithful. But the truth is, the Lord will be looking at us, oh ye little faith, come up. You are not thinking, I'm here. Our faith cannot be spoken. It must be lived. Then your faith comes to life. Then you will have the hope to see the eternal glory of God, things that you won't see. I have absolutely no idea what we will all go through tomorrow. Can anyone say every single second, I already seen it? You sleep, you never wake up. You wake up, you don't remember anything. You have extreme case of coma. All your memories are gone. This uncertainty is a wilderness. And that wilderness, you look up to the Lord alone. He is my only exceeding great reward. Who never changed, who never fails, who never lies, who never forsake. He just wants me to trust Him. He just wants me to have the faith in Him to go and take it. To go and take it. To go and take it. It's not missing. It is there. Go and take it. Whatever you lack in your life, it's not lacking. It's not missing. It is there waiting to manifest if you have faith. If you have no faith, it is not there. Why? God will not feed the fountain of life to swine. God will not throw the bread to those unbelievers. Why? Word of God is life. Life cannot coexist with death. The light of God will never let a darkness to consume, because light consumes darkness. Even in a vast galaxy, if I lit a single candle, that single candle, that single flame will separate the entire galaxy, which is limitless, boundaryless. I can't know how far it is, but that candle will tell everything, I am here. Because people can see, what is this light? Everything else is darkness. What is this small light? So that single candle can defeat the entire galaxy, can defeat the darkness of the vast galaxy. What we are talking about? Which darkness can overpower you? It is nothing but unbelief. If you believe, not even a single hair from your head will fall without God's permission. If you believe. If you don't believe, God cannot do. Why? He won't do. How can you go and wrestle with the unbeliever? He would not do. He will just show the grace and mercy like a sweet river, our Savior. He will keep on flowing. He would never be stagnant because his life, like the blood. And whosoever find grace, they receive the water, they get the light, they start moving. A river should flow. A faithful servant of God must work. Faith without works considered dead. A river without flowing is not a river. It's called river because it is working. Keep on working until it goes to the ocean. Then again comes back. Keep on working. Goes and feed all the plants. Makes forest. Makes habitation. Goes back to the ocean. Servant of God. Born in the world. Serve the Lord. Goes back to the Lord. Taken by the Lord. The life is nothing but a flow of river. Goes back to the ocean. Disappears. Go to the cloud. Comes back again. Water. Disappears. Go to the cloud. Goes back. You see the cycle of water. You know the cycle of life. The true life of God cannot be destroyed. It's there in different forms, in different ways that we can see. The life of Christ is manifesting in us, those who are willing to be the vessel of Him. Now, heart, face, heart. Why? It's like surrounded. When we say, Lord, I want to behold your face, I want to conform to your face, can we conform to the face of our Lord and Savior, if our heart is not right? The Bible says, walk to the temple of God with a perfect heart. But we say, Lord, I'm not perfect. Yes, He knows. When we do everything in obedience, in the word of the Lord, you might be wounded, you might be suffering, you might be crying, you might be imperfect, you might be struggling, you are not the person whom you want to be, but the Lord will see you as a perfect creation of Him, because you obeyed. Just look at the feet, no toes, cut off, maybe some injury or I don't know. But I was just watching this bird for, I would say, about one hour. And it was keep on searching for food, going to every corner of the stones, you know, eating food. So when I saw that, okay, you can zoom out. When I saw that, I tried to compare it to myself or to, you know, what I can learn from this little beautiful example of God's creation. Now you see, if there is a beast thinking that this bird has 1 foot, you know, wounded, it can go and easily attack it, but the beast does not know this bird can fly. It has strong wings. When we sing the song Wings of Faith, we just sing the song. But do you really believe you all have wings of faith? No matter how much your legs are injured, no matter how much your pain is overcoming you, but the Lord can make us fly above all the stones. But on top of that, this bird looks very beautiful because it was eating all the while. And that small imperfection couldn't do anything to the beauty of this bird. For me, it looks even more beautiful with that imperfection in the feet. It tells us a lot that we all have imperfections. Only the Lord can make us complete. To the world, it's an incomplete bird. But I believe to the Lord's side, it is always complete. Because it was searching for food, bowing its head, humble itself and look for the food. But it doesn't know what it is doing. The Lord has allowed certain things, even the wounds that are in our life today, it could be because of the consequence of your mistake, it could be because of the wrath of God that the Lord punished you, but the healing is coming from Him. Amen? The comfort is coming from Him. The redemption is coming from Him. So the Lord is teaching many things, but the question is, can we see? In your office, in your work, in your home, in your life, there are lessons, beautiful lessons around us, but can we see? So, when the Lord tells us, do not be ignorant, we cannot be ignorant of the daily blessing the Lord has placed in front of us. It's daily. The blessings of the Lord is not weekly or monthly or once in an occasion. It's every day there is a blessing. If we can end the day being a faithful follower of Christ, it is the best blessing that can happen to us. Because people can fall on the same day. So now, let's continue. Proverbs chapter 23. Brother Clement just read verse 6, 7, 8. Now we will read from verse 19 to 21, brother.
Hear my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags.
Amen. Now please continue, brother. 26 to 35. 26 to 35. Same chapter.
My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. She also lies in wait for a victim, and increases the unfaithful among men. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. As the lash, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, "They have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake, that I may seek another drink?"
Verse 26 says, "My son, give me thine heart." And the consequences of such a strong drink is verse 30 says, "They that tarry along at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine." What is mixed wine? Mixed wine. How false doctrines came into the world. How there are thousands of denominations. How there are different preachers preaching different things. How there are different religions. How there are different people serving different gods. Different opinions. Mind of people is always the mind of division. Because they divide and rule. But when there is a threat to them, they will gather. Not because of unity of love, but because of the fear of death. Enemies, they gather, only they think, if I am alone, I will get killed. So I have no choice, I hate this guy, but it's fine. Let's just form team with him. So the gathering of enemies, gathering of things of the world, is always to kill the innocent, to kill the pure, or to hold the territory strong, like the city of Jericho. But the children of God, it's all about unity. The Bible says, "Mark those who cause division among you." But why the Lord allowed them to be among us? Why the Lord allowed them to be among us? He threw Miriam out. But still the Lord said, "They will be among you." There were vipers distracting people, and Moses told them, "Look up to what I do." Why? If there is no Garden of Eden, how come Adam can do what he is supposed to do? If there is no battle, how come you can overcome the battle to be a testimony of Jesus? If there is no flesh, if there is no eyes which longs for lust, thoughts that longs for ego, pride, anger, how we can say, "I am victorious in the blood of Jesus Christ"? Our weakness, our trials, our sufferings, our past, everything, the Lord wants us to understand that we are conquerors, we overcome. Because He has overcome everything. He just wants us to believe and take it. Believe and take it. Believe and take it. So, give your heart to me. Only then we can have a state of mind which is the mind of Jesus Christ. If our heart is not set at the holy place for the Lord, it can be broken. Like that bird which was not complete. It could be some wound. Lord, I am not able to be happy, sincere. But the Lord is not concerned about all of that. The Lord will just look very deeply. Are you obedient? Are you humble? Do you love me? That's it. Because He is the maker. I am not the maker. You are not the maker. You cannot repair yourself. A broken heart can only be healed by the Master. When Jesus went to the synagogue and He read the book of Isaiah, after that He said, "Now it is fulfilled." Right? But the chapter starts with, "The Spirit of the Lord resting upon me, I came to heal the brokenhearted." Who came to heal who? Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He told the disciples, I came to heal the sick. Then what is sickness of the Lord? Anything that stops you from serving the Lord with all your heart, it is the sickness the Lord wants to heal. Let's do not be disturbed by the busyness of this world. That's nothing. At the most it can kill you. At the most it can kill me. What does it matter? Can we say the last messenger, William Branham, he died in a car crash. There are many people say the wrath of God consumed him. Oh, are you sure? Stephen was stoned to death. Can we say wrath of God consumed Stephen? Are you sure? The suffering and pain and persecution of saints of God was not wrath of God. It's love of God. But the wrath of God is falling upon those who are twisting the new covenant into mixed wine. And to feed the people to spread enmity, hatred, division, opinion, sowing discord. Do you think the master is simply watching the husbandman? Even Noah, the husbandman, planted a vineyard. For what? To drink and just go unconscious? No. Noah knows what exactly needs to be done. He is the Son of God. The Lord separated him from the entire destruction of the world. He cursed his own son. He cursed his very own son. He is the Son of God. The wrath of God is divine. Do you see? It's divine. Anything that comes forth from the presence of God is divine, including his anger, his punishment, the destruction is also divine. Can we say, I love my body, but there is some cancer, but don't touch it, because I don't want any scar in my body. Are you sure? If there is no destruction of the cancer cell, the whole body will rot to death. That scar is a beautiful scar, because the Lord removed the sickness from you. And the Lord gave the scar to you to remind you to keep you humble. Pray for spiritual scars in your life. And rejoice in the Lord. Oh, I went to this battle, the Lord gave me this scar. Oh, I went to this battle, the Lord gave me this scar. How many scars our Lord took for you and me? He even showed his disciples, put your finger in my palm and see what I did for you. Why the scar is still there? Why the scar is still there? To remind us that we bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. Now, continue. Now we can go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, where we left after 7 verses. Now we go to verse 8. Chapter 28. Verse 13. We finished up to verse 12 last Sunday. I will read from verse 13. Chapter 28, book of Isaiah. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snagged and taken. They might go and fall backward, that they might be broken, snared and taken. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, the rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I repeat, he that believeth shall not make haste. He that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him. Verse 17, judgment also will I lay to the lion, and the righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of life, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Overflow where? The hiding place. Now, this is the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, from where we live, because book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 7 says, but they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. In order for them to be out of the day, there was a strong drink. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink, and they are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision, they stumble in judgment. Now, I want us to be reminded of the verse when we read what the Lord told to Moses. Let's go to Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. Brother Clement, can you read this for us? Chapter 6, verse 1 to 8.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or woman consecrates an offering to take a vow of the Nazarite to separate himself to the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall drink neither vinegar made from wine nor vinegar made from similar drink. Neither shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat fresh grapes or raisins. All the day of his separation, he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, from seed to skin. All the days of the vow of his separation, no razor shall come upon his head, until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall be holy."
Amen.
"Then he shall let the locks of the hair of his head with the locks of his hair of his head grow. All the days he separates himself to the Lord, he shall not go near a dead body. He shall not make himself unclean, even for his mother or even for his father or his mother, for his brother or his sister when they die, because his separation to God is on his head. All the days of his separation he shall be holy to the Lord."
Amen. Thank you, brother. Because the consecration of his God is upon his head. Consecration of his God is upon his head. For that reason, the Lord separates holy and unholy. And the Lord says, partakers of heavenly calling and partakers of the mixed wine that is served by Babylon. Now, this is what the Lord told to Moses. If we go back a few chapters before what we read last Sunday, I want us to read it again. Leviticus chapter 10, what the Lord told to Aaron, chapter 10 verse 8 to 10, I read, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. That ye may put difference between holy and unholy, clean and unclean." Strong drink. Now, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. I will read from verse 21. Yes. Chapter 5, verse 21 onwards. "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure." Verse 23. "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake, and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid." Cannot be hid. This is what we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5. There are some verses that we are going to read now in a series, as the Lord separates things. What he allows to drink for the pain, for the flesh, for the body, but there is always a spiritual understanding behind it. So the Lord says, if you do not work, do not put the food on the table. Spiritually, we know what that means. Faith without works considered dead, and if there is no faith into our life, then we can't put food on the table. So now, let's read Proverbs chapter 31. I will read few verses now, which I wanted to read last Sunday. Then we will go to the
book of prophetical books. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 4 to 7. Verse 4 to 7.
It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more.
Amen. The one who suffers in his heart, give some wine to drink. And what drink that we are talking about? And what drink the Lord is talking about? Romans chapter 14 verse 21. I was blessed when I was reading this verse concerning this. Romans chapter 14 verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that contenteth not himself in the thing which he alloweth, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What a strong word it is. Whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin if we eat, because it will make you fat in an evil way. If the Lord says, do not serve me if your heart is not humble, do not serve me if your heart is not filled with joy, why the Lord is telling? Just to rejoice in our sacrifice, he do not want us to die. It is scripture. We just read it. Lest you die. The Lord warning us. We have to have the Holy Ghost to examine our hearts so that we will continue to submit for the Lord to continue to mold us. The more we resist, we will be broken. Because a clay must remain as a clay. It will bend to whatever the direction the master molds it. If the clay thinks, I am a vessel enough, then you have already stiffened your neck. When the master touch, you will break. That is the warning the Lord says. Do not be wise in your own mind. It's a very subtle deception. It might be seen as the truth of the Lord. It might be seen as biblical knowledge, but it is not. It is not. That's what we are learning from the word of the Lord. Now we read Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. I read few verses before I close. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18.
And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Hosea chapter 4 verse 11.
Harlotry, wine, and new wine enslaves the heart. My people ask counsels from their wooden idols, and their staff informs them, for the spirit of harlotry has caused them to stray, and they have played the harlot against their God.
Amen. Thank you, brother. In this chapter, there is this verse 11. It speaks louder concerning what we learned from Proverbs. It says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. When the Lord told Moses and Aaron, the strong drink will make you do something mistake, which will force you to go away from what the Lord wants us to do. Separation. And here we see, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. But the Lord says, give your heart to me so that the Lord can bless us with the mind of Christ. Now with this, let's read Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah chapter 51, I will read from verse 17 to 23. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 17 to 23, I will read. Awake, awake. Stand up, O Jerusalem, which hast drunk at the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrung them out. There is none to guide her among all the sons whom she hath brought forth. Neither is there any that taketh her by the hand of all the sons that she hath brought up. These two things are come unto thee. Who shall be sorry for thee? Desolation and destruction, and the famine and the sword. By whom shall I comfort thee? Verse 19 should remind us what we learned in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25. I continue verse 20. Thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of the streets because of the strong drink. As a wild bull in a net, they are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. Therefore, hear now this. Thou, afflicted and drunken, but not with wine, thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of these people. Who? The Lord, thy God, pleadeth the cause of these people. He pleadeth the cause of all of us. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. Was it taken and disappeared? See, when the Lord was honoring the faithful servant, whatever is left of him who is not faithful will be taken away from him and given to the one who is faithful. Amen? Remember the parable? You see what the Lord is speaking here. He will take the cup of his fury of his people as he pleaded for them. He just don't throw it away. Verse 23 says, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. Who has the courage to go and afflict the children of God? Those who are the vessels of the flesh, the evil, and the enemy, and the world. The separation is there. The wine is there, ready to be forced to drink. Because the Lord says, certainly they will drink. They will drink. He will make them drink. But before that, he has been warning, speaking, to separate. And it says, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that thee may go over. And thou hast laid thy body at the ground and at the street to them that went over. Anything that takes over your mind, pray, and in the power of the name of the Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord can help us to bind and loosen anything that is not the mind of Christ. But the Lord says, come and sacrifice you, yourself, in the altar. He will circumcise. And that sword is the word. When Jesus, the word of God, the sword, went to the temple, those who were selling and buying, they ran away because he threw them away. The word of the Lord purges the temple. The word of the Lord cleans the body of Christ. But until the perfection is there, the Lord would allow the wheat and tare to live together. One to exercise the faith, other to have grace and time for them to come and repent. Or else why the Lord says, repent, repent, repent. Why John the Baptist says, repent, repent, repent. It's love. The word of the Lord is all about the love of God. And the wrath of God is the one that separates and let the fulfillment keeps on going. So may the Lord bless us and guide us as we will move to the book of Revelation concerning the wine that the Master will bring in the winepress, and how that drink, that drunkenness that we learn from what we learned from the prophetical books and the Gospel and the Old Testament. May the Lord guide us as we will continue next week. God bless you all, dear brethren. Shalom. Let's all stand and pray. Our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for what you did on Calvary. And thank you, Lord, that you carried the cross for our shame, for our sin. And thank you, Lord, that you shed the blood that washed all of us, that is thoroughly washing all of us as we continue to walk together as one body of Christ. The Lord who rejoiced in the togetherness of the children of God, the Lord who rejoiced in the unity of the brethren in the house of the Lord, Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, may you feed us the new covenant the blood of the Lamb, that we all be drunk all the time, to be controlled by the mind of Jesus Christ. The only new wine. How the people were mocking the apostles when they received the Comforter. They were mocking at them. What happened to them? Are they drunk with new wine? Indeed, yes. They were all drunk with the Spirit of the Lord, with the new wine, with the mind of Jesus Christ, to speak things of holy, to think the things of holy, and to do the things of holy because of the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, may you bless us to have the Comforter in our life, that we may all be guided by the mind of Jesus Christ. Bless us, O Lord, to be able to grow with the bread of life that strengthens our heart, to be able to drink the new covenant that brings gladness to our hearts, to be able to hold on to our service in sincerity, in humbleness, to wait at your feet, to wait at your feet, to rest in peace, to rest in the word of the Lord, to receive the grace and mercy and peace that you are always pouring upon all of us, O Lord. May you bless us, O Lord, to find strength in silence. So Lord, we thank you for the assurance, and we pray in Jesus' name. May you fill us with the mind of Jesus Christ, that we may all be always drunk to be led by the word of the Lord. We thank you for everything. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. Amen. God bless you all. In Jesus.